So this is Jimmy, and this is episode 7, and I'm recording at 11:33 p.m. on a Saturday 13th, just 27 minutes to Valentine. And I thought on this episode 7 of Welcome to Life with Jimmy, I wanted to talk about a topic that I cheesy named it as how to love. Just to throw in their ideas of what it is to say that you love somebody, or how you can love somebody, and what's the best way of loving somebody. So on this episode, we're just gonna dig in on how to love, and we're gonna go deeper on points here and there, and ideas here and there, and all of these are researched, so they have data-based. And I try to narrow down to the most important ones and most easy one to understand. So, in that saying, buckle up. So, how to love? So, first thing I wanted to start is, what is love? We all know, like, love is a feeling, that feeling of emotional attractiveness, and that feeling of being concerned on someone's well-being and the rest. But I came to find out a good definition on love, that love is a commitment, and love is an action, like it's an activity, and also love is a constant decision that someone continue to pick over and over. So in that point of just putting it as love is a commitment, action, and a constant decision, I wanted to see how I can expand on those points. So the first thing I wanted to start is, like, I looked over on the internet, and I came across with somebody called Gary Chapman. He's a PhD holder, and he did a research almost 30 years ago. It was in 1992, and he did a research over 10,000 people and asked them on their love language, like what it is that they love their partner to do to them that brings to them a feeling of being loved. And he came up with 5 love languages, and the first one was words of affirmation or affection. The second one was quality time. The third one was receiving gifts. The fourth one was acts of service. And the fifth one was the physical touch. So he said most people will fall in between those 5 love languages, and most usually have 1 primary and 1 secondary love languages. And in his point, Chapman suggests that to discover another person's love language, one must observe the way they express love to others and analyze what they complain about most often and what they request from their significant other most often. And in that way, he theorized that people tend to naturally give love in a way that they prefer to receive love. And better communication between couples can be accomplished when one demonstrates caring to the other person in the love language the other person understands. So in that point, it pointed out that it's best to understand these things because it makes it easier. And he also said that he perceived it that love languages as an act of expressing love itself can change over time, and people can have 1 languages now and may go under a certain traumatic event or certain series of unfortunate events, in which later on, when this person heals from those events, they might change their perception of their love languages accordingly. And he pointed out that it's a normal thing, and adaptation and compromise is all it takes in this. So, in saying so, I wanted to go a little bit deeper on how to love somebody. And the points that I came out with was that When you love somebody, the very first thing is the commitment on your relationship. And this commitment can be seen as an expression of interest. And this is very vital for communication and also for the normal social engagement of this relationship in the society, how it's seen. So commitment of a relationship tend to move in all perspective, because as we said, love is a commitment. So that's the number one thing, you know, whenever you have somebody, it's a commitment. Another thing that came up with was, when you have somebody, it takes time, and investment of time is a very crucial entity in expressing love. And in this investment of time, actually, this is love shown in action. You know, when somebody is there to, like, maybe listen to you, talk to you, hear your thoughts. And this is even seen more better when this person removes entity of distraction like phones, TVs, and everything on the sort. When someone really engages and stays there with you and listens and notice a lot of things that going on somebody's life, you know. So investment of time was another point that keep on coming up in most of the researches. And other people call this quality time. You know, having a quality time with your significant other. You know, having time that you just sit and talk and just know each other's life. And in this quality time or investment of time on a relationship, this was seen better with different entity. Like, people might say they might have date nights, or they might have adventure days, or they might have days that they just go out and enjoy each other's company without the distraction of technology. So yeah, just the fact that you're there with somebody and you talk. Another thing, it was communication in love. Like, there has to be a good communication between you and your partner. And one thing I loved about this, it was a simple phrase that said, use your words. It is as simple as that. That sometimes your partner might not know what is going on with you, and you using your words can and will break that barrier. So communication of your love language is best if you can use your words and tell your partner about it. And in that way, you can lean on each other and get to know each other better. So it was just said, show, don't just tell. Sometimes, you know, you might tell somebody, communicate your love language, but sometimes you have to show it so that they can know. Another thing I came across was being spontaneous. And in this, being spontaneous was more seen in the love language of receiving gifts. You know, you can just pass by and see something. They say it's not about the expensive or the quality of the thing that you buy, but it's about the thing it says behind it. Like, you were thinking on your partner while you saw the object or you saw the gift, and you decide to physically show your love in a physical entity. And this is what is called gifts. So gifts, they're like a visual reminder of your love to your partner. And whenever they look at it, they keep on remembering it. So being spontaneous had fallen in the criteria of giving gifts as a love language. Like, just don't wait for, like, maybe birthday or Valentine for you to do anything. You can do it at any day without any reason required. Just the fact that you remembered your partner. Another thing, it was acknowledgement, or acknowledging the thoughtful things that your partner do for you. You know, this was seen in a way that most people, when they get into relationship, they start taking things for granted. They believe that there are certain things that they're supposed to get, and they feel like it's their right, and they start taking them for granted. And this can be detrimental and even tiresome for the person who is doing those things. So they say the simple thank you whenever your partner does something is enough, because they say when a partner does something for you, when you acknowledge it, it's not just that you acknowledge what they did, but you're acknowledging the fact that they know you do not want to do that. That's why they did it. For instance, you hate washing dishes and your partner helps you wash dishes. And when you say thank you, it's not just thank you because they wash dishes. It's thank you because they realize that you hate washing dishes, that they went on their way to wash them. You know? So sometimes you might take something for granted like that, but it might be something big for the other person. And this acknowledgement of these things can actually be seen on your love language of act of service. There are people that when you help them, like chores at home, work, like dishes, laundry, cleaning the house, making the bed, making a coffee or making tea, making breakfast, making lunch, you know, those acts of service can be seen as love for the other person. So that was it. Another one was being supportive. And being supportive, it's like you demonstrate your love in somebody's day-to-day life, you know? And it gives them the feeling that they cannot fail because they believe that you are there with them. And also it becomes an encouragement. And this by itself, being supportive, usually is seen as words of affection and affirmation. And it actually is a love language for most people. An interesting point I came across was that providing space. And this, I had to like really read a lot about it. Providing space means like you should not be too clingy. You know, there's those people who are clingy. They're always there with you 24/7. Because there was this article I came to read. It's an article that says 10 signs you're in a healthy relationship by Scott Christ. He writes that we all need time to explore, reflect, and express ourselves individually. And he keep on saying that create space for your partner so that they can express their creativity better. And this actually was a phrase that they keep saying, that this person was someone before you came along in their life. So they had their own way of doing things. And sometimes you acknowledging those own ways of doing things and giving them space of doing those things without being clingy, sometimes that itself can be a very good motivator for showing that you love somebody enough. Because relationship should be a place of transformation and growth. And sometimes to allow somebody to grow, you need to give them a little bit of space for them to grow up and also to transform. Another point was that take the good with the bad. This was talking about perfection, that everyone is not perfect. And you should like get past the imperfection, and when you have somebody, you have to see those small quirks as just passing things, and you shouldn't hold them so much dearly on them. And this was also seen, like when you have a conflict, you should like be gentle. And being gentle, they keep on saying try to not use generalization, like to avoid generalization. Like, you know, somebody does something and you'd be like, you always do this, or you never do this. You know, avoid those generalization. And when you talk to them, just focus on what is on the table and avoid shutting down. Like, you know, be like just quiet. And then when they ask you, become defensive and combative. You know, they say the best way is just to be calm, mutual respect, and the humor, interest, and a process of explaining to your partner what you think is wrong so that they can understand and they can decide to change accordingly. And this was a way to say that you should avoid like those putting somebody down, like You know that people, when they're in a fight, they will speak to you with abusive language. They will paraphrase. This is why maybe your parents hate you. This is why maybe your colleagues, they do this to you. You know, you put somebody down, you know, in a fight. So they say you should not do this, and you should take the good with the bad. Like, always know that this person is not perfect and they're always learning. So when you have these problems and conflicts, you should find the best way to speak in respect and to always let love be the motivation and not being pettiness. So that was it. Another thing, it was like, be willing to compromise, because love is like a team. So sometimes you need to compromise for the other person so that you both can win, or you both can persevere on that part better. And this was seen as an act of service most of the time, because you have to compromise on many things that maybe on your own self you will have never do them, or you'll have never liked them to be done the way they're being done by your partner. So compromise is a little big things, and a willingness to compromise can go a long way in creating happiness and feeling of well-being in a relationship. And another thing, it was like, always remind and tell your partner the things you love most about them. Like, compliment on them many times, as often as you can. Because sometimes you might be like, I know you're beautiful, I've been telling you, and then when you have somebody, you forget to tell them. Like, maybe they're beautiful, or, oh, today you look smart, oh, today you smell good, you know? Yeah, that was a nice haircut. You know, just remind them, oh, I like the way you make your jokes, or I like the way you express your stories, or, you know, just things like those. And then we went to listen. In a relationship, when you have somebody, the biggest thing is to listen. And listening is like being attentive when the other partner is speaking, and then being an open listener, that you want to hear what they mean or what they want to mean. And another thing was, you get connected on what they're speaking and engaged in the conversation. And then in that way, your partner really feel like you're a true listener. So this was a point for most people, like, just don't listen to answer. Like, listen to really be attentive, to really be open, to really be able to connect and engage on what the other partner is saying. Another thing was, drop old issues. Like, never just keep on bringing up old issues, because it tends to weaken the relationship and rather not strengthen it. Because most of the time, these old issues are mistakes that the other partner have done, and they keep on detrimentally reminding the partner that they had an issue and it has never been let go off. And this by itself may worsening whatever you are fighting on the current status. Another thing is just being genuinely sorry when you are. And this was a practice of being accountable. Like, you do something wrong, you become accountable, you apologize genuinely, and you change that character that led to whatever happened. And in that way, they said it requires a lot of humility and being vulnerable and knowing that the other partner understand that you really, really went on your way to really apologize. And last but not least, it was physical affection. And this was broken down in two ways, that there are physical affection or acts that does not necessarily lead to sex. Like, maybe hugging, holding hands, spooning, playing with each other's hair, massage, or just asking on your partner preferences. Like, maybe, do you want me to rub your feet? Do you enjoy me rubbing your back? You know, things like those. Like, just physical actions that does not necessarily lead to sex. And the other one is just being physical, like, yeah, having intimate sex acts with your partner. So in that state, I think those were like the points that I get to see. And I had to find a way to put a note, like a summary way, like now that you know the things that can be seen as modes of loving your partner better. But then how do you know, like maybe you have a healthy relationship, because many people might be doing this thing differently. But you might say, I don't have any problem in my relationship. So the points that I came up with knowing having a healthy relationship was that the first thing is that you trust each other better. You will always trust each other. And the more you trust each other, the more the healthier the relationship is. And the other one is give each other personal space. And I've explained on personal space. And then don't rush on milestone. This is a mode of knowing if you have a healthy relationship, because you get to savor every moment while you're building up your life together. And you take time to celebrate these small occasions in your life. In this can be small things and small achievement that your partner might like, yay, this is a big thing, let's celebrate. And you might think, ah, this is just a small thing. When you have those things like little by little that you get to understand, they're like small milestone, and you don't rush them and you get to enjoy them, that is a sign that you have a healthy relationship, because a relationship is a series of milestones till death. And then another thing was that you can talk about anything. In a healthy relationship, most of the time you can talk about anything without worrying that your other partner won't understand you, or without holding back, even if the truth hurts. So it's just speaking up your mind whenever it pops up. And remember, you speak up your mind with respect. Always with respect. Another thing is that a healthy relationship will always lead you guys to inspire each other to be better. If you find like you're in a place whereby you have a partner that keep on inspiring you to grow or to reach higher levels and inspire you to get better, that is a sign of a healthy relationship. Another thing is to appreciate the little things that happens here and there, because you understand that a relationship takes a lot, and when somebody goes their way to do little things for you, appreciation is the biggest thing. And another thing is accept each other for who you are. And this, I should point out, these are just those small flaws here and there. And this is not to encourage mediocrity. You know, sometimes somebody is just a mediocre. And you shouldn't be like, oh, I'm just going to accept for who you are now. You know, you got to inspire each other to go better. But there are those small flaws here and there that somebody have. And sometimes just accepting those small things here and there, that is a sign of a healthy relationship. Another thing is you hold each other up during tough times. You know, like you might have funerals, you might have failures in life, accidents, you know, the ups and downs that the earth might throw to your way. And at those moments, you know, when you hold each other up during those tough times and you know those tough times will pass, that is it's a sign of a very healthy relationship. Another thing is able to let go of the past. You know, people in a relationship, they know that to grow to grow in a relationship is just a series of letting go of failures and mistakes, you know. And these things are just nothing but just pathway to an attainment of a very good relationship between you two people. So being able to let go of the past is a very crucial part in a healthy relationship. And another thing is relationship gets stronger with time. You know, you slowly build, you develop characters, you learn love languages, you learn to express yourself more and better. And this by itself will just express that this is a healthy relationship, because over time it's getting stronger and not weaker. And just to run it up, they say there were three phrases that in a healthy relationship you should make sure, or you should know that they will pop up more often if you want to have a healthy relationship. And these three phrases were, I love you, thank you, and I am sorry. So most of health relationship, these are the phrases that will pop over and over, that you love somebody, you express it, you are thankful for whatever they do for you, the little things, and you're also sorry because you're accountable to the things that you do. And in that way, it actually expresses more on that, with all these ups and downs that occur in relationship, it is a journey. And in this journey, you get to grow and you get to transform together to become somebody better and to become a good partner and a good team, team between you two people. So that was it. I just wanted to point it out just as a Valentine gift, that this is all to remind the here and there, because I know most people have different ways of expressing themselves on this entity of love. But just to remember that love is a commitment, love is an action, is an activity, and love is a constant decision that someone keeps on choosing. And that there are love languages that everybody usually have, and the common ones are the words of affirmation and affection, giving gifts, physical touch, quality time, and acts of service that your partner really see that you're expressing your love to them. So happy Valentine's and enjoy. So this is Jimmy, and this is Welcome to Life. Thank you. Kudos.